Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Gong et al. Titled Mitochondrial Flash as a Novel Biomarker of Mitochondrial Respiration in the Heart. This article published October 1st, 2015. Joining me today are Associate Editor Rong Li Liao, Lead Author Wang Wang, and Content Expert Hossein Ardahali. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. As we know, mitochondria is a very complex organelle that plays a critical role in ATP production, energy transduction, and is very critical for many cellular signaling regulations and function in all organs in our body, particularly heart. Wang and his colleagues are one of the first to recognize that a circularly permuted yellow fluorescence protein termed CPYFP can be used to sense superoxides a number of years ago in their initial publications in Cell. In this current paper, Wang and colleagues using mitochondria matrix-targeted CPYFP probe to investigate the coupling between mitochondrial respiration and mitochondrial superoxide generation in primary adult cardiomyocytes and isolate the Ligendorff perfused hearts under the physiological settings. Wang, could you please take us through the key motivations and the major findings of your study?
Thanks, Rong Li. As you said, this is a continuation of our previous work, which was the start with the discovery of this mitochondrial flash event. The flash is a single mitochondrial event that occurs randomly in live cells and under physiological conditions. So one of the major features we found in our original paper is that the flash is dependent on the intact electron transport chain activity. As you know, the electron transportation along this chain is also called mitochondrial respiration, which generates the proton motive force and drives ATP production. So we asked whether the flash is coupled to the electron flow on the chain, and if so, whether it can be used as the biomarker of respiration, at least under certain conditions. As we know that currently the method to measure respiration is very limited. The gold standard is oxygen consumption rate, which is normally measured in isolated mitochondria or permeabilized cells. More recently, the Seahorse extracellular flux analyzer, which is a pretty good system to measure oxygen consumption in intact cells, but is not capable of measuring respiration in tissues or organs, and also not in a real-time manner. So because flash can be imaged by confocal imaging, and we can view flashes in the intact cells and perfused heart, and as you said, even in the live animals, and we think that it will be a very good tool if we can develop it to be indicator of the respiration.
Thank you, Wang. Hossein, I know you and your laboratory are very much interested in the role of mitochondria and metabolism in cardiovascular disease. Maybe you can provide some of your view in Wang's work, and perhaps if you have question for Wang.
Thank you, Rong Li, and Wang, thank you. Great work, great results, and I think this technique will prove to be useful for many laboratories around the country and around the world that use that study mitochondria. I have a couple of questions for you, Wang. The first one is regarding the use of this method to measure respiration in other tissues that have less number of mitochondria than the heart. Do you think this technique can be used in those tissues?
Thanks, Jose. I think so. We and others have detected flashes in different types of cells, and the basic characteristics, such as the amplitude and kinetics, are very similar. So besides the cardiomyocytes, several studies have published which works on the skeletal muscle cells and neurons. These cells have much less numbers of mitochondria, which leads to relatively higher flash frequency in these cells. We still need to do a thorough evaluation on the flash respiration coupling, like what we did in this paper. But the bottom line is, in these other tissues, like the skeletal muscles and neurons, we know that flash in these tissues are also dependent on electron transport chain and respiration substrate. So I think it's likely that we can use them to measure the respiration in these tissues.
Great, thanks. So One other use for this marker for the flash is to measure reactive oxygen species production inside the cell. And as you know, reactive oxygen species in the mitochondria come from different sources, but the major sources of ROS in the mitochondria are complex 1 and complex 3. Do you think this technique can be used to determine where the ROS is coming from, complex 1, complex 3, or other sources?
Thanks, Jose. I think it's possible, but we have to combine with other genetic or pharmacological approaches. So far, we show that any chemicals, if blocks the complex 1, 3, or 4, normally used at a high dose, will all abolish flashes. In this report, we knock out the complex 1 component. The protein's name is NDUSS4, which is responsible for the assembling of complex 1. When this protein is knocked out, complex 1 activity and complex 1 substrate supported respiration is decreased to about 70-60%. So in these cells, we know that the flash is also decreased proportionally. In this model, we can see that complex 1 is one of the major sites that accept electrons that generate ROS and detect it by the indicator. And there are also other molecular approaches that can knock down complex 3 or 4. We think if we combine those models, we'll be able to tell whether they also play a role. In addition, if we can titrate in the different doses of these chemical inhibitors, such as rotenone, and we probably can see a lower partially blocked respiration and a lower flash frequency, which can give us some idea, you know, where these electrons come from. However, if we think about this, the electron transport chain has to be a continuous flow. If we block at any site, it, you know, may have the same outcome.
One of the uses for measuring oxygen consumption rate is to determine which substrate cardiomyocytes are using and which substrate is going to the mitochondria for oxidation. Is it fatty acid oxidation or glucose oxidation that is the source of energy in that under specific conditions? Do you think this technique can be used to determine the difference between the substrates that are being used by the mitochondria?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. I think the answer is yes and no, or maybe. Flash is mostly the end product of the electron flow along the chain. So it would be difficult to use it to differentiate the upstream substrates if we give all of them together. But I can tell you one example that we recently found in this NDUSS4 knockout mice sites. And when we supplement the intact cells with fatty acid, no glucose, fatty acid, the palmitate, and we can see an acute stimulation of the flashes, which is not different from the wild-type myocyte. This suggests that the fatty acid can bypass complex 1 to supply the electrons to the electron transport chain, and it can still be detected by the flashes. If we give a right condition, we can kind of sort out which substrates is supported the respiration and the flash under certain conditions.
Very interesting. Looks like it's a very powerful. Can you tell us a little bit about limitations of this technique and what we need to know for our experimental techniques?
Yeah, thank you. I think no approach is perfect. The flash respiration coupling exists under most physiological conditions, and I think it is most appropriate use for real-time measurement to follow different situations in the same cells or tissues. One of the best examples I can tell right now is the ischemia reperfusion injury. We have shown that in the cardiomyocytes and perfused heart, there is a tight coupling between the flash frequency with the ischemia reperfusion status. However, I don't think we can use it to compare between different cell types. You know, they have different number of mitochondria, different flash frequencies, and we cannot say that certain level of flash frequency equals to certain level of respiration among different cell types. Another limitation is under certain pathological conditions, such as the electron flow is blocked by the chemicals and the flash could be uncoupled with the respiration. One of the examples is the data we showed in figure 5 about oligomycin A. Oligomycin A inhibits ATP synthesis and slows down the electron flow. It actually caused electron accumulation on the chain and transiently increase the flash frequency. Here, there's a decoupling between these two effects.
Just toward this potential limitation, Wang, I think as you are aware, there is some polarized view in this particular topic of using CPYFP. The question is, what of exactly the CPYFP is measuring? Could you share with us your point of view on this regard?
Thanks, Ronnie, for bringing out this critical question. I'm fully aware of these different views on this topic. For the limited time, I can only briefly discuss it with two major issues. First, I would like to say that there are controversial about the superoxide and pH sensitivity of CPYFP. However, there is no controversial about the flash event. The flash can be detected not only by CPYFP, but also by other ROS indicators and by other pH indicators. The bottom line is we think that the CPYFP is dual sensitive. We show that it senses pH as well. So we detected a small pH component during the flash in our previous publications. And we think that the nature of the flash is probably also a composited nature, which means it's composed of different signals. As you know that if the flash is coupled to respiration chain, and the respiration chain is responsible for ROS production as well as the proton motive force, which will increase the pH in the matrix. So they change to the same directions, and it will be relatively difficult to separate these two events because they are so coupled with the same process. However, the point that we made and we discussed in the discussion part of the paper is that regardless of the nature CPYFP sensitivity, we can still appreciate that the flash is a very important and a physiological function of the mitochondria, and it bears important pathophysiological significance so that we can still use it to measure the respiration and to measure the function of the mitochondria under normal and disease conditions. But we need to double check or combine with other indicators or parameters.
Thank you. So mitochondrial work is a topic of huge importance. Many laboratories are now working hard on this topic. I believe a healthy dose of a controversial view will certainly help to move the field forward. We anticipate there will be new probes or new tools generated to provide more calibrated and quantitative information at a high temporal or spatial resolution in the very near future in order to help us understanding the biology and function of mitochondria in the health and disease. So with this, I would like to thank you both again for participating in this podcast, and congratulations, Wang, and your group for this very exciting fine work. Now I would like to turn this back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.